You teared up because the barista screwed up your order. You finished a pint of fudge ripple ice cream in front of the freezer. You yelled at your desk neighbor, Leslie, for breathing too loud. This time, don't go and buy another box of tampons. Question what you thought you knew about periods. Question what you buy, what you use, what the usual way, right way is to deal with it. Revolutionize. Switch it up. Try the Diva Cup and see how it can make dealing with your period a whole lot better.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Jurassic Park Radio. Join host Todd Jurassic as he explores the great outdoors and the great unknown. Here we go.
Hey, this is your host, Todd Jurassic with Jurassic Park Radio, continuing part two of my interview with a friend of mine, Dave Big Tex Cleaver, talking about his crazy, sometimes unusual encounters with Bigfoot. In fact, we're probably going to have an extension show, a little show tonight, and then in the fall here, we've got a special show that's going to, some of the stuff is just going to be absolutely crazy. But Dave, you on there?
I'm here.
We got him off. Whoop, sorry, lost you for a minute. And technical issue.
Hello?
Dave, you
hello?
Back? Yay,
can you
Dave.
Hear me?
Sorry. Yes, I can. Yeah, I'm still learning
hey,
the tech stuff.
Doing,
but, man,
Todd?
How you doing, man? Doing good.
Doing great.
I appreciate you coming on. And, again, just want to let everyone know we're just going to do a probably 30-minute thing here on with Dave. And we've got a special big one with some really crazy stuff coming in the fall, some stuff that you rarely ever hear in the Bigfoot world, and it'll be good, but we wanted to expand that, so we cut the show a little short tonight. We're going to just talk to Dave about some of the stuff we were talking about, some of his crazy encounters, and anyhow, let's just get started. David, how often do you get out in the woods?
Well, I actually get out there quite a bit. I try and take a fairly long hike, three or four times a week. Like I mentioned last time and you've met her, I have this southern gray wolf, so I have to feed her wild side fairly often. So she keeps me out there, but I'm one of these guys that's spent a lot of time out there in the woods since I was a little kid. It's really the place where I'd rather be than just about anywhere.
Yeah,
so
it comes natural. As far as things that you found, do you find that you found a bunch of stuff out in the woods over the years, or it's just been you start? I know people that find things and then everything starts to look like Bigfoot, from stick structures to tracks, and you're looking at it. I see videos online, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't see anything there. But do you find it's happening? Have you found a bunch of stuff? Tell us about some of the stuff you found.
I'm my own biggest critic when it comes, and just like you mentioned, I think it's really important to not get this Bigfoot tunnel vision and to try and always think of all of the other things that it could be. And, because you can really get locked into that, and I try to avoid it. And, one thing that's helped me is I'm always looking for other things out there. I've got a lot of interest. So, I'm looking at a whole range of things, and Bigfoot is just one of them. As far as stick structures and tree bends, I don't really pay much attention to those. I know a lot of people, look at that, but I think that's some of the evidence that you'll find out there that can really fool you. Mainly what I look at as far as that is, high breaks, along a alleged Bigfoot trail, something that a human can't break. You know, I'm always looking at those, and especially the way that they're manipulated. You know, out here we have a lot of juniper, aka cedar, and the way they break those limbs, it's really, they have a method that they used where it's, they grab the limb and they crush it and twist it, and it leaves a, I think I've showed you some of those, but it leaves a real distinct signature on that. I'm definitely looking at those, and a lot of these trails that I frequent, because, you know, I have my little areas that I'm always going through, but there's been some strange tree pushovers that just seem very unnatural. You know, none of the surrounding trees are damaged in any way, and, you know, this stuff is pushed over, you know, that, so it makes it difficult for me to go down the trail. You know, I take it as a message. I really do. So, you know, tree pushovers and stuff like that, but stay out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That one juniper you showed me that one time, the twisting on it was, there's no way a storm did that. And the message was, I got the message. You didn't have to teach me or speak to me or say it or let me see it. The message was gotten. I'm strong. I'm tough.
Yeah, it's,
stay out of my path if you see me. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
But I guess the thing that I find the most are tracks. And I mean, I find them all sizes. I find some of the smaller ones, you know, I call them teen foots, more than I do the bigger ones. And I just think that the younger ones are just not as careful as the adults. You know, they're like,
that makes sense.
Like our children. They're a little carefree and careless. One of the neatest prints I ever found, and this was probably 10 years ago, but there was some fairly large impressions leading up to this pool off of this creek, and there's a little sandy area there. And, you know, they weren't very distinct, but there was one footprint that I found right down there on the water's edge, and it was, I mean, it was a baby foot. It was just maybe 4 inches long, but it was just perfect with the toe definition. But, I mean, you've never seen a baby's foot like this. I mean, he's like, good Lord. But, you know, I surmise that, you know, Mama Bigfoot was carrying the little one down there to the stream and put him or her down to drink, and that's when the footprint was made. But that's, I've always thought that was one of the neatest ones that I ever found. And in fact, I'm pretty sure I have been finding tracks of that same young individual for the last 10 years. And I've actually watched the foot grow. And if it's,
yeah,
if
that's,
it's
that one
same
that you showed me a month ago, that was
that
amazing.
It is that's him or her. But, you know, the size of its foot now, and I call him teen foot, but it's about as big as mine, which is, a size 9. But I have watched it grow through the years, which is really interesting. And I have I've taken pictures, so I have a lot of pictures showing the growth of that foot. Now, I'm not one of these people that cast prints. In fact, I've never done that, and people are always asking me, you know, why don't you cast these prints? And, you know, basically just, you know, the answer to that is, you know, it takes time, for one. Plus, you got to carry the materials. And it's, even though they're very, very interesting and it's good for the study, it's really not going to prove anything. I mean, there's a lot of excellent casts out there, and it's not the definitive proof, you know. Plus, I know that these things observe me when I'm out hiking, you know, and I never know when. And if I'm casting Prince, then I don't know, this may sound weird, but in my own areas where I do most of my research and hiking, I would just feel like it was rude to them.
Yeah.
I don't want to do
anything.
Well,
they might be more careful, too, if they see you doing that.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to be more careful. They may change the trails they use. And, you know, I just, you know, I take a couple of quick pictures of the tracks, you know, from a couple of different positions. You know, sometimes I'll try and put my foot next to it or something of a known size. And, you know, and I move along pretty quickly. So that's kind of the... You know, the reason I do that.
Well, I know that a lot of the stuff I see online.
Excuse me?
No, a lot of the stuff I see online, the tracks are just, they're kind of bland. They just look like impressions. You can see them there was a foot, but some of the tracks, I mean, I've seen that you've shown me the one in particular recently. It's like, I don't know how you can argue what it wasn't. It was either a person or other. And it was so clear, but man, it's going to be exciting, especially to find a baby one. If you find a baby one again, please, well, at least take a good picture of it, I guess. So anyhow, go ahead. I didn't mean to break your train of thought.
You know, the picture you're referring to, you know, I always look at, okay, you know, where am I finding the track? And, you know, these are some very remote areas off of any human trails. And, you know, of course, it could be a human, but I don't know what human in their right mind would go walking barefoot in these areas. I mean, it would just be crazy. I mean, you'd tear your feet up. I mean, I go through hiking shoes like you wouldn't believe. You know, if I can get a year out of a pair of shoes, you know, that's good, and it's generally less. So you can only imagine what it would do to your foot.
Yeah.
So I'm just, really... do not think there's a wild man out there running around barefoot, you know, a human type wild man. It's just not plausible in my book. And, you know, a lot of these Bigfoot trails that I'm following where I find these tracks, these trails seem to go from one large tree to another. And I can only guess that, maybe at nighttime, these larger trees are easier to see, and it's almost like connecting the dots the way they walk through there. And some of these trees, and I think I showed you one of them when you were down, they'll get a rock and wedge it pretty high up in the tree on a you know, a limb that's coming out, and they'll wedge it in between the limb and the tree. As some kind of a marker, I guess. I'm not really sure what that's about, but, you know, if a person was doing that, you know, they'd have to climb up in the tree, you know, to do it. And
yeah,
why
it doesn't make any sense. Trick a Bigfooter?
And
that's about it.
And that same tree that I showed you that was pretty interesting along those lines. There'll be sticks at the bottom of it, and, you know, I go by it maybe once every week or so, and sometimes those sticks will be moved around and changed or sticks added. I'm not really sure what that means, other than maybe that's how many Bigfoots have gone down that trail, and the tree that has that rock in it, the marker one, they put sticks down there. You know, I know the Indians used to do stuff like that. You know, to say, hey, I was, you know, I came down this trail and, you know, I'm leaving a mark. So, yeah, I don't really know. I've just tried to figure out, you know, why somebody is moving these sticks around at the bottom of the tree. I've always thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, how many tracks do you think you found in your life?
Tracks,
knowing you, like probably dozens
hundreds.
At least.
Hundreds, and I usually only take a picture of the ones that are in impressive. I was going through a couple of videos. I take a lot of videos too, but I found two yesterday, as a matter of fact, of two different trackways that I came across that I'd kind of forgotten about. And those are just like, wow, you know, a whole series of tracks. And yeah, I'm going to have to figure out a way to get you those videos, but they're pretty cool. It's always neat when you find a trackway.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's a rare thing too. And just, you know, I know you're in remote areas. I know people have fake trackways, but, you know, you're finding stuff fairly deep in the woods. So.
Finding these tracks, you know, I'm going to have to give some credit to my wolf. She sees me looking at these tracks and studying them and looking around, and I think she's figured out, hey, this is something that Daddy likes. So she actually, she'll track them. And so she's helped me find some stuff, too. And like I mentioned,
well, she was with that time. She spooked that one.
Yeah, like I mentioned in the last show, my last sighting, I never would have seen it if it hadn't been for her. I mean, she found it and started yelping at me, hey, here he is. She was all excited. So
well, it's interesting because some seem to hate dogs, and they seem to like, you're saying you told me one time they almost like your wolf. I was like, you play with it. You know, and at least that one young one you thought was messing with it.
One of the coolest footprints I ever found is she took off, and I had found one track, so, and it looked pretty fresh, you know, and she takes off on one of her little, you know, so she's after something, and I just had the feeling, you know, maybe it's the teen foot. I think this young Bigfoot that I mentioned earlier, she and the wolf have some little game going. I don't know what it is. So I started following her, you know, trotting after her, and she had crossed a creek. And when I came up on the creek, right there on the edge of it, there was a nice, beautiful, fat, you know, size 9 footprint that was still filling with water. So, you know, it had just been done within, you know, probably just minutes before I got up there. And I went a little further and called her and never heard anything. And, you know, she finally rejoined me about 10 minutes later. But, you know, what was she doing?
Yeah.
You know, she came back all happy and excited. So I don't know. I suspect that, you know, maybe they do have some kind of interaction. But the one I believe she interacts with is this young one that seems to be interested observing us, I'm guessing, or something. Maybe follows us from a safe distance. I'm really not sure. But I think it likes my wolf.
Well, that's good. It's always nice to have something that draws them in. You know, and you're able to – you probably wouldn't even have that sighting if the wolf wouldn't have pointed it out. So that's awesome.
I never would have seen it. Which just makes you think, you know, anybody when you're out in the woods, you know, there's a good chance when you get into these areas that you are being observed. But, you know, you'll never know it.
That you realize you've been doing it for years and you start realizing, man, I've been observed a bunch. I just don't know it. And probably most hunters have been if they're in areas that, you know, off remote areas by streams and bodies of water and swamps.
When you get that sudden creepy feeling, you know, you should trust it.
Yeah, I've had it. I know people that don't even believe in Bigfoot, had no clue, got this creepy feeling, get out now. And it was probably wise. And I've been roared at one time, and that was, I got the message. But, yeah, there's times when you just need to get out and just follow your gut, and even it doesn't make sense. But, hey, one thing I wanted to ask you before I forgot, you said that you had found, and I thought was really interesting that I'd never heard of, is that you had found bees' nests, and that you'd tell us about the bees' nests and, you know, in Bigfoot. I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I actually have been at find these for years, and it took me a little while to figure out what exactly was going on, but these are actually ground hornets. And over years of seeing this phenomenon and studying it very closely, I finally figured it out. But what these Bigfoot are doing, and I'm almost certain that they're the ones that are doing it, you know, through my hiking, I see these ground hornet's nests, you know, and I skate around them. I leave them alone. I know they're there, but, you know, for the last, oh, I guess 8 or 9, 10 years, you know, I definitely mark them in my head because I know what's coming. But what the Bigfoot does is they will wait, and it's usually one of the first freezes we have down here in Central Texas in the wintertime. And they will go in there, and it'll always be one of the first or second nights it freezes. And they'll dig down and tear off the top of it and leave, exposing the hornets. And I have walked up on these nests several times the next day. And, of course, dead hornets all over the place. The ones that are still alive are disoriented. And, you know, they're bugging out from the nest. The following night, the Bigfoot comes back. No more hornets. They're not going to get stung. And they pick out, you know, these huge pieces of the paper nest that are underground, and they carry them off. I'll come back the next day, and the nest will be completely gone. Not even a sign that it was even there. And these are, you know, large hornet's nest, you know, maybe 6-8 inches across, round, and several of them underground. So, you know, they're
really
fairly
cool.
Large. It's not something that you would want to get into and have these hornets stinging you at all. And what's really fascinating is with the excavation on these nests, it's not an animal digging at all. But sometimes I find the sticks where they've stuck them in the hole and pried it up. But the nest material, completely gone. I mean, if it was an animal, it would chew it up. There'd be bits of the nest all over the place. All right, where's the nest going? Well, by hiking around the area and sometimes miles away on these Bigfoot trails, I'll just find a piece of the nest. And it's still, you know, these paper nests, you know, they're delicate, but they're still perfectly intact. And it's like something has carefully picked the grubs out of the nest.
No,
there's
that's
not
amazing.
One
that's really
grub
cool.
In any of them. So, you know, they come back after the hornets have frozen to death. They're all gone. They take the nest, and they're just, you know, it's like a snack. They're eating them as they eating them on the go, like a bag of candy or something.
Bag of grubs.
I have just seen this so many times, and it's always the same. You know, the tear off the top of the nest and get the hell out of there, you know, the first freeze. You know, and then come back the next night and just casually take the nest. You know, no more hornets to contend with. I mean, what else is doing that? Especially out in the middle
of
nowhere.
Certainly not a raccoon or even a hog, right?
No,
a
raccoon or anything would certainly do it. But they'd just get after the nest right then and there.
That'd be everywhere.
Why would they wait? And why would they wait to the first freeze? And you would find chewed up pieces of nest all over the area. I mean, there's not a sign of the nest anywhere. And I mean, I'll find these pieces of nest, you know, a mile or more away, just discarded on the side of a trail. So when you find one of these things, in fact, I located another ground hornet's nest this summer. So I'm going to be real anxious to see what happens to that. You know, after we get our first freeze, you can bet I'll be out there for sure.
That's really cool. Now, you found some cactails. I know some people think the hogs take cactails, but the cactails I saw looked like they were pulled straight out of the ground. And you had some other recent stuff where you thought maybe they're pulled off their teeth. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, there's one section that's got a pretty good standing, and it's probably been 2 years ago after our drought. You know, we finally got some water, and the cattails had been dormant, but they came up pretty good. And I came through there one day, and probably a third of them were pulled up, and very neatly. You saw that, didn't you? Didn't you see that?
Yeah, I saw it. It's unbelievable strength. And you cut yourself, you do it when they're.
And they were just kind of neatly stacked over there on the shoreline, right close to it. And the bottom root part was, you know, chewed off.
It would have been really taking some strength.
And, you know, those things are not that easy to pull up out of the ground.
No, it's in fact, try it sometime. We'll laugh at people, sit back and watch people try to pull it out. I don't care how strong you are, you're going to have a heck of a time. Sure, you can root them out and dig them out, and a hog could do it, but some of these things, those ones that you showed me, look like they're pulled straight out of the ground, which I want to see that, because if they're alive and green, you're going to cut yourself up, and if they're dry, they're still going to be pretty tough to get out of the ground. And some of the stuff even recently you showed me, you had some even stuff in the last week.
Well, we have a lot of yucca out here, and what they like to do is pull the shoots out and eat the bottom part of it, you know, kind of in the same manner that you would eat an artichoke leaf, where you kind of scrape your teeth across it to get the meat. And these things are very hard to pull out, too. The edges of that yucca has got that serrated edge on it, you know, and if you pull, it'll cut you pretty good. I've tried to pull it out, and, you know, I have to use a glove or do something like that so I don't cut my hand. But I find those all the time where they'll just sit down, and they seem to be sitting right there, and they'll pull, you know, a dozen or more of these things out of the plant and just sit there and scrape the meat off the bottom of the leaves. But, you know, they never eat the whole plant. It's like there's some kind of conservation element to it. You know, they didn't pull out all the cattails. You know, they never pull out all the leaves of the yuccas. It's almost like they want to, you know, keep it alive for the future or something. They don't just totally destroy it like a lot of animals would just eat the whole thing. Now, I have pulled some of those yucca things out myself, and they're actually quite tasty. I mean, I can see why they like it. I really can. And I do the same thing, scrape the meat off with my flat front teeth, and it has the same appearance as the ones I find that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be doing it the same way. And, I mean, it is quite obvious that there is no other animal out there that's doing this. I mean, I don't know what
animal
would do that. And the last one,
to neatly pull it out, rub it across your teeth.
Ate about 10 of them, and it just lined them up next to each other after it chewed it. It was like it's chewing them and just setting them down and lining them up, which I thought was interesting.
That's pretty cool. That is cool. That is, yeah, lining them up. That's a raccoon, right? Oh, man. Yeah, it's almost like human-like behavior sometimes, and it's the... And you're thinking, you're in the wood of the woods, you're an animal, you're getting ready to get something and then get out. You're either going to hide it or, you know, you make a mess. You're not going to neatly stack stuff and, you know, and lay it, place it perfectly. And it just, that doesn't make any sense, but that's pretty interesting. Have you found anything else as far as, I know you've occasionally found an animal carcass. You thought some of the parts were removed out of them and some bones and stuff, and what other kind of cool stuff have you found?
Well, you know, and I guess when we do the show in the fall, I'm going to talk about this, these particular areas. And there's a couple of them that I found where there's just more stuff getting killed there than you can. I mean, it's almost creepy being there. and it's no place I'd want to be at night. I mean, some of these places have got so many animal carcasses. It's just mind-blowing, mind-blowing from, you know, a day old to several years old and in between. You kind of saw that, but, you know, let's save that for another show because that's going to kind of fit in with some of this other weird stuff I want to tell you.
Well, have you, as far as anything like nests or what you thought were nests, I know that, you know, they found them up in other places in the country, almost like ground ape nests, gorilla nests. And have you found anything that you think, hey, they're, you know, making a little bed for themselves or anything like that?
You know, I have, but not a whole lot. The country down here is a little, you know, even though it's wooded, it's a little more open. It's not very thick. So I really don't find those. And I think that's just because it can't be that concealed that well. But the ones that I have found are really beautifully constructed, like that one I showed you. And they do it in such a way where they don't actually break off the limbs. They bend them and twist them so that the tree or bush or whatever, a combination of both, it stays alive. So, you know, it doesn't look out of place. And in a lot of cases, you would walk right by it and not even really know what it is. You know, this main area near my town, I'm pretty sure there's this one area that's pretty far over that's got quite a few caves over there. And these trails that I find, they all seem to be heading in that general direction. And I don't go over there, you know, out of respect, fear, all of the above. I'm just not interested in tracking them to, you know, if they are up there laying up in these caves, I don't want to go over there and mess with them. I just don't. And that's
well, I know,
you know,
that
my choice.
You saw
some
other stuff come out of the caves before.
Yeah, there was another time. This was probably, I don't know, 10 or so years ago, but I was coming up over the top of one of these cages from the top of the ridge line and just down a little bit, this one cave. But the trail that I would take, you know, there was a game trail that would go down this ravine and then it would go in front of this cave. So I was always nervous about walking in front of that cave. And there was a little hole up there on the top of the ridge line. It was almost like a chimney to that cave. So I would get in the habit of just, you know, before I would climb down there, I would throw a rock in this hole and it would bounce down into the cave, you know, and I had done that, God, you know, dozens and dozens of times over several years. And one time I did it, I heard this huge commotion and looked down there and this black jaguar bolted out of that cave, you know, hauling
really cool
butt down in the ravine. And that, you know, that was kind of a, you know, I was hiking by myself, you know, I don't carry a gun or anything. And that was a little scary for sure. I definitely don't want to see that guy again.
Yeah, he's a little bit more intimidating than the 8-foot tall guy that's watching you behind the juniper. Yeah, the thing is,
you know, and I surprised it, you know, and he took off, you know, because he was surprised, but he slowed down and started looking over his shoulder at me and disappeared into some brush down at the bottom, but it looked like he was circling back around. So, you know, I was about 30 minutes from my truck. So that was a long 30 minutes. I was walking
backwards.
Yeah, I could
see that.
Most of the way.
Well, that's what the thing is people just, and I know I've done it when I'm younger, but you got to be careful going to caves because there could be anything. I mean, especially in rattlesnake country, and it just, you cats hole up in caves. I mean, heck, would you really want to corner a Bigfoot in a cave? The answer is no, because whether it hurts you or not, I mean, it's one thing, but certainly would be a terrifying thing. What, in your experience,
well,
I guess,
you know,
pretty much
since you mentioned it, here the last 2 years, since we've, you know, finally getting back to normal rainfall levels, you know, that's the one thing that has me completely freaked out are these rattlesnakes. I have had three close calls that I can't even tell you how close they were. And with huge rattlesnakes. I mean, I really came close to getting bit three times. So it's kind of taken away from my Bigfooting because I am just obsessed with, you know, making sure what's, you know, what I'm getting ready to step on. So, and
yeah.
I used to spend a lot more time
I was
looking
in Australia.
Ahead, off the peripheral, and now I'm looking at snake, looking for snakes. So,
yeah, that just how I was in Australia. What do you think from your experiences? I guess that have you had anything else, other unusual stuff at night or days? I mean, you know, any of the whoops, rock throwing, any kind of, I know, crazy stuff like I had two sets of eyes glowing without light, which was not comfortable a couple of years ago for me. And, you know, have you had anything
they
other crazy stuff
the,
that you found?
At least in Central Texas, you know, they seem to prefer the tree knocking as opposed to the hoots and hollers and yells. And I think that's just because of the close proximity to the, you know, our small town.
Yeah.
That they're using, you know, more knocks and not really vocalizations, and you know that just goes to, these things are pretty darn smart.
Yeah they are. Now, do you think they're dangerous at all? I mean, if you've heard of any, you know, buddy or seen anything that would make you think, you know, other than
and we touched a little bit on this last time.
I remember that
for starters, if you're going to go out there Bigfooting, you know, if you're trying to fool them and sneak up on them and stuff like that, as opposed to doing something to pique their curiosity, you know, you're going to get a different kind of Bigfoot that's going to show up. Or, you know, if you, you know, get in their territory and do something threatening towards them, you know, the same Bigfoot, you know, could end up being pretty grumpy, you know, whereas if he's coming to your campsite or something because you're playing the guitar, which I love to do when I'm out there in the woods or something like that, you know, he's got more of a gentle nature to him. So, you know, any
that would be cool.
Human or animal or anything is going to feel those same emotions, you know, depending on the situation.
Yeah.
So I try to, you know, sneak up on them or do anything like that, you know, but then again, I think there's some of them out there, you know, the ones that live in the deepest, remotest parts of our forests around the world, you know, you got to watch out for them.
Yeah, I think it's a total different animal.
They're not as used to human interaction or that kind of stuff. So I always think they're going to be a little more aggressive than
you
the ones
right.
that are
like a stray kitty cat compared to a wildcat. Yeah.
Yep.
I could definitely see that. Now, is there any kind of other evidence that you can think of that you may have forgotten that you may have found that's kind of cool?
I'm trying to think. You know, not really. You know, it may come to me as we're talking here, but you know, I tend to look at the stuff that just seems more obvious. I notice some
other
things out there, but I'm not even going to attribute those to Bigfoot activity. There's a lot of other stuff going on out there, and I can't get the mindset that Bigfoot's doing it all.
Yeah, it's true.
But I just,
especially
you know,
when you go out in the woods and people don't realize
like
you got,
you know, like this hornet's nest deal. I always follow the same criteria. Okay, here are the facts. This is what's going on. You know, what could possibly be doing this? And I try to eliminate every other possibility that I can before I start thinking that it might be attributed to some type of Bigfoot activity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of factors. I mean, it's the myriad of it. If you read David Pilates' stuff, it gets even crazier. And then you have all kinds of people with pot and meth and crazy stuff nowadays. So you just got to be careful where you go, when you go, how you go, letting somebody know you're out there. And, you know,
oh,
place you got venomous snakes.
I walked up on an illegal pot grove several years ago, and that was a scary situation.
That would
probably be one of the scariest things you could probably run into out there is, you know, some type of a illegal man-made situation going out there. You know, and there's also, you know, I come across some illegal camps every now and then, you know, guys that have come across the border and, you know, stuff like that. Not mm-hmm. very often. But, you know, I found
even
those.
Even that can be dangerous.
So, no, they're not going to be dangerous. But these pot
well,
growers
cool,
and these druggies out there, man, that's a turn around and go the other way quick because, you know, they'll booby trap those deals.
Yeah, and they can booby trap them with cameras, too. That's the thing nowadays. And, you know, the meth is what is the really concerning to me. But
and one thing,
anyhow,
you know, one thing I did a couple of years ago is I took all the Bigfoots in Texas that were on three of the main Bigfoot sites like the BFRO and those old Gulf Coast guys and then the Wood Ape guys. And I made specific categories and a much more simplified way to gather the information. And I was kind of surprised at my results. If you're in Texas, the best way to see a Bigfoot by far is in your car. There are much more sightings of Bigfoot with people driving. The next one are people hunting. And then the third one are Bigfoots coming to rural properties, looking in windows, killing livestock. You know, stuff like that. But the one thing that I had really never thought of this until, you know, you're reading a concentration of these kind of deals, but this business with the cars, in most cases, I think it's pretty obvious they're doing this on purpose. This is a game. This is a game that they're playing with people. And cars, you know, that waiting till the last minute. I mean, these creatures are pretty aware. I mean, they know everything that's going on, but, you know, so why are they jumping out in front of these cars when, you know, there's very little distance? I mean, I guess they're bored. And
if they're that intelligent, they could be. And if they're youngsters,
and
well,
I,
yeah.
Also,
be
in
bored.
A lot of cases, and I know you've seen this, probably a lot of people, is, you know, you're driving down the highway and you see deer or other wildlife that are off in the grassy areas. You know, even in some of these highways have big areas in the middle of them, you know, that's grazing areas or on the sides. And I think these Bigfoots wait in the woods till cars are coming. And they spook these animals to run out in the road so a car will hit them. Hey, that's... You know, that's a pretty easy meal right there.
That's actually
pretty
smart.
I'm pretty sure
and it would not
that.
Surprise
in fact,
me.
In fact, I'm pretty sure that happened to me one night in northeast Louisiana when I was driving about 2 o'clock on a deserted road. I'm almost positive that they tried to get me to kill one with my car.
That would make sense.
You know, you don't
now, there's theories they
hiking in the woods to see a Bigfoot. Just get in your car and find a road out in the boonies. Just drive up and down in weird hours of the. Well, it doesn't even have to be weird hours of the night, but. Most people that
well,
see
you know
these
what? I've heard
they,
of them coyotes falling, the coyote kills, and you know what? If they're that as smart as they appear to be, then you know what? That would make
kind
of sense.
Oh, they definitely have something going on with these coyotes. I'm not sure. I haven't quite figured out what that is, but there is definitely a bond between the Bigfoot and the coyotes.
Well, there's been some theories that they follow the coyotes, let the coyotes kill, and scare the coyotes away and eat the kill, just like you would with a car, like you're saying. Eat the kill.
Well,
they don't need to put a lot of effort into
it. I think it may be the other way around, because the Bigfoot is he's not really interested in sitting down and eating the animal. He's only interested in a couple of things, you know, like the liver, and I think they really like the tongue. I have found some weird deer carcasses that have had their lower jaws just pulled all the way down like 180 degrees and the tongue missing, just ripped out.
My God, that's crazy. Well, sir, it is, anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up, and then we'll just, get the big
well,
together in the fall.
If
and
you had anything else?
Not a fan. I just wanted you to go there, but we decided, Dave and I decided to hold off on some more spectacular things that Dave's found and some other stuff we're looking into in the fall, and probably November will have something out that'll be it'll be some unique stuff, because Dave's had some pretty crazy stuff. I've seen a couple of crazy things, and this next show we'll be able to go into it. We figured to make it a show by itself. So anyhow, Dave, good having you on as always. Look forward to seeing you here soon, and you have a great night, sir, and thanks for coming on.
You too, and thank you very much. And
no problem, man.
Talk at you later.
All right, man, you have a great night, Dave. Thanks, and everyone, thank you for listening, and I'm getting better, and I have better guests. It's going to be hard to top Dave, because he's one of the best natural Bigfooters I've ever seen in my life. And he's a great guy.
Thank you for that.
I'm glad you had him on. So anyhow, you have a great night, sir. And everybody have a good night. And thanks for listening. And we'll have Dave on here in the fall with some really crazy stuff here in probably early November. Okay? Thanks. You have a great night. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Now, your favorite music apps are available on Contour. Go from watching a musical to listening to your favorite music. Enjoy a country western and then a country jam. Or go from action flicks to something that makes you feel like an action hero. Now with Contour from Cox.